and he will be my son. Oh, those words are comforting, they're exciting, they're full of expectation. Tonight we're going to begin with Lift Your Glad Voices, song 138 in the Christian hymnary. Like Brother Aaron mentioned, I believe in his prayer that Brother Myron, his desire was for us to celebrate and to rejoice in his graduation. It's all because of Jesus. Hallelujah. 138. Lift your glad voices in triumphant high, for Jesus hath risen, and man shall not die. Vain were the terrors that gathered around. In man sure the dominion, death and the grave. He burst from the fetters of dark. Jesus had cheered the dark valley of sorrow and made us immortal to heaven ascend. Lift then your voices in triumph on high, for Jesus hath risen, and man shall not die. Amen. 315, peace, perfect peace. We'll just sing the first and the last verse of this song. 315, first and last. Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. It is enough, earth's struggles soon shall cease, and Jesus call us to hands And let's sing yet number 835. It is well with my soul. And we know that our brother Myron could proclaim this testimony even through the times of his life when the sea billows were rolling, as it were. He found peace in those times, and I know he could say, it is well. It was well with his soul. Praise God. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot has taught me to say,
the Lord.
be seated.
Good evening to each one of you. As we celebrate Myron's life here this evening, I just want to go ahead and read the obituary while we're all together here tonight. Myron G. Weaver, age 67, passed away on Thursday, December 2nd, 2021. He was born November 8, 1954, in East Earl, Pennsylvania, to Paul R. Weaver and Anna Gaiman Weaver. He is the fourth of five children: David Weaver, deceased; Joan Weaver, Bang; Rhoda Weaver, Strite; Dale Weaver; Miriam Weaver, Rudolph. He was married to Rachel L. Weaver on June 18, 1977, in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, and enjoyed 43 years of marriage. He was the father of nine children: Harold Weaver, Leanne Weaver Burkholder, Lisa Weaver Strubar, Tiffany Weaver, Joyce Weaver Hansen, Paul Weaver, Carol Weaver Stamper, Grace Weaver Martin, James Weaver. He is preceded in death by his son Paul Weaver and his wife Rachel Weaver. While raising his family, he was involved in many ventures and found fulfillment over the years in school teaching, co-creating an art curriculum, founding a print shop, publishing books, inventing, and investing. Above all, he was deeply devoted to his faith in God and his commitment to his church family. He was a confidant and counselor of many individuals. In his last years, he faithfully cared for his wife during her decline and is now reunited with her in Christ.
Before Paul gets up there, I just wanted to say something. Some of the other siblings that aren't able to be here today requested that I say that they really wish they could be here this evening. Quite a few of them are sick and couldn't even travel for the burial earlier this week. And Anne texted me. She said, just let everyone know that she's missing being here, and along with the other siblings, they want to be part of this evening, but we're not feeling well enough to be here. So just thought I would say that. Thank you.
Greetings in Jesus' name. Thank you all for coming. Tonight, in honor and memory of Brother Myron. And the family that's not here, if you're watching this or listening, we just greet you as well. Thank you, dear. And we just want to share our sympathies to you, with you, and our prayers. We've been praying for you. This was such a sudden and unexpected loss. And Myron's desire was that we would celebrate this as a graduation, which those of us who know him know that he was a teacher, and I think that always resonated with him, that idea. And so we are here to celebrate tonight, but I also want to acknowledge the fact that there's real loss and real pain for, I think, all of us, especially for the family. And I just want to say it's okay to grieve and to feel that loss. You have lost a wonderful father, and we've lost a wonderful brother, friend, grandfather, all these different things that Myron was. I loved looking at the pictures here in the beginning just to see that beautiful smile again. And so even as we celebrate Myron's graduation, we're also feeling that loss. And we just want to acknowledge that. Our loss is Myron's gain. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I believe Brother Myron, that's his heart. I believe that's where he's at right this moment. His death was gain. Praise God. We're going to talk about that here tonight. I did want to say also to the family, you know, something that I have found to be very comforting in recent months is the idea of when I suffer a loss, is the idea that to thank God for the gift that he gave. Recently, we had a friend move from the congregation here who's my best friend for 16 years and moved out of state. And it felt like a great loss to me and my family. Obviously, nothing like a death, but it was a big loss for us. And just to realize that he was a gift that God gave to us. His family was a gift to our family. And in the case of Myron, he was a gift to all of us, and especially to his family. God gives gifts. And if you look around at the people around you tonight, let's just take a minute to consider the gifts that we have been given from God. Our wives, our loved ones. God is good. And I just pray that you all could glory in the gift that God gave you. His children, Myron and Rachel, were both a tremendous gift, amazing gift. A gift that not many have received on this earth, of parents like that, really. So it's okay to feel your loss. And we feel it here. Myron, when I first came to the congregation 27 years ago, that's when I first met Myron. He would have been about 40 years old. And we grew to appreciate him and love him, spend time with him at times. He was here for probably 10 years, I guess, and then Effort of Church started. He went there. Our contact was much more sporadic. Off and on, we'd see him at a big meeting or something. But then 2 years ago, he returned here, and we just got to be reacquainted with each other, visited several times at our home. And it was a blessing to see what God had done in his life, to see the sweetness on his face and his countenance and the fragrance of Jesus Christ. He was just starting to get into Sunday school teaching here, just started that a few months ago in our class, and it was such a blessing there. He just called me about a month ago. He wanted to take in a young man who was a drug addict and was trying to recover, went through a program, and he was asking me for advice and counsel, and he was considering taking him into his home. And he was willing to do that. He was going to do that. Didn't work out. Just the last Sunday that he was here, he had a burden for a brother, and he asked for prayer that he could go and minister to him. It was just a couple weeks ago. And so he went, and he did that. He visited. And so his heart was to serve Jesus. And he served him well. And so because of that, because of who Jesus is, and because of what we saw in Myron, we can joy here tonight, right? We know where he is. We're not doubting. We're not wondering if he's with the Lord. We know he's with Jesus. Praise God. So what I'd like to do tonight is sort of follow that theme of the graduation. Starting out with the fact that the Bible says that there's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Myron listened to that schoolmaster at a young age. As I understand, he came to the Lord at a young age of 12 or 13. That's what his son told me. The schoolmaster is the law that tells us that we're sinners and shows us we've lied, we've stolen, we've coveted, etc. Myron listened to that voice of the schoolmaster. At a young age, he came to the Lord Jesus, the only one who can save us. There is salvation in no other name. And he gave his life to the Lord. He repented from sin and self. And he put his faith in what Jesus did on the cross. He became born again. And that's the beginning. Being born again is the beginning. God has a unique curriculum for each of his children. Do you believe that? When we're born again into his family, we're his child. And God has a curriculum that he has designed for each and every person to do what he wants to do in their life, to show forth the glory of Jesus in that life, in my life, in your life. And so Myron embarked on this curriculum. The Bible calls it learning Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. He says that, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you do not henceforth walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." But look at what it says in verse 20. "But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." And you know, our life as Christians is a process of learning Christ, learning to put off our old self, our old ways of doing things, our old ways of thinking, and putting on Jesus Christ, saying, "Lord, live your life through me." It's not just a salvation experience that is a one-time thing, but as we receive Christ, so we have to walk in him, Christ Jesus the Lord. And we're all working on our master's degree, which is the "well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what we want, isn't it? The master to say those words. Praise God. If you don't have any other degree on earth, get that one. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Jesus told us in John 16:33, he said these things, and this was right after he told them about the Holy Spirit that was going to live in them. He's comforting them. He's getting ready to leave earth. And he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world." Myron is an overcomer. Amen? Yes. He's an overcomer. He overcame, and he overcame the only way you can overcome, and that's through the grace of God, through Jesus Christ. That's it. We don't have what it takes to be overcomers, do we? But we have one who overcame the world. And because he overcame, we can be overcomers. And it says in 1 John, he says, "You have overcome them because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." Myron had the greater one living in him. And that's why he could overcome. And I'm just going to briefly share a little bit about some of the things he did overcome. But first of all, Jesus overcame. He overcame the devil and every demon. He overcame the world and every temptation to sin. He never sinned once. And finally, Jesus overcame death and the grave. And the governor said to make it as sure as you can. But it wasn't sure enough, because Jesus Christ overcame the grave. Rose from the dead. Hallelujah. We serve a risen Savior. Amen. And on the cross, he said, "It's finished." So we can overcome because of him. That's it. There's no other opportunity or program or strength or method to overcome. And I watched Myron overcome a lot of things in his life in the years that I knew him. We first came here, he was going through a severe test of financial loss. Many tens of thousands of dollars in I remember him sharing at a brother's meeting. He was feeling this situation was on him. And we prayed for him. It ended up being not as bad as it could have, but he still lost tens of thousands of dollars through a situation of, I think it was a lawsuit, or maybe it never got there, it was settled, but anyway, I never heard him talk in bitterness about that. Never heard him lament that. Never heard him even mention it again. He suffered loss. You know, God's put us in a world where we have things to overcome. He's done it on purpose. It's part of his curriculum for every single one of us. And all of us here tonight, I know, all of us have things that we need to overcome, right? Every single one of us. And I want us to take courage tonight as we rejoice in our brother Meyer in being an overcomer. He's finished. He graduated. He passed the tests. That tonight all of us would likewise take stock of our own situation and realize afresh that we can be overcomers over whatever it is we're facing through Jesus Christ. He lost a son, Paul, in a car crash years ago, and there was a lot of difficulties surrounding that situation. Some of you may remember it was not an easy thing to go through. Again, Myron didn't allow bitterness into his heart. Never heard him talk negatively against the Lord or against the people. He allowed that to make him sweeter, draw near to Jesus. He suffered the loss of his wife's health. I'm not sure how many years he went through that, but it was quite a while. He had to serve, or got to serve her. And he was faithful, and a beautiful testimony in that. But he had to watch his wife's health ebb away, and that was part of his curriculum that God gave him. Again, I just found the sweetness coming out of him whenever I talked to him about it. He trusted Jesus. He yielded himself to, he passed the test. I'm sure he didn't pass every test. I'm sure he probably got an F on some tests like I have, and you have. Have you passed all your tests in the curriculum? I haven't. I've gotten quite a few Fs, really. The wonderful thing about God is, you know, when we get an F, he gives us a retest, and he allows us to come back around so we can pass. And if Myron did get any Fs, I know God brought him back to where he passed beautifully. He suffered the loss that comes through church problems, misunderstandings, sinning, and being sinned against. And again, you know, Myron, you really wouldn't know that talking to him. There wasn't a bitter bone in his body. How many of you saw that little plaque on the table in the picture up here that was next to him in that one picture? There's a little plaque sitting next to the table. He was on this chair with his grandchildren. There's a little plaque that said, "Forgive freely." Guess what? That wasn't just a decoration. That's more like a declaration of who he was. He forgave freely. The people that wronged him, the people that he could have gotten bitter against, Brother Myron forgave. And he overcame. That's the thing that struck me when he came back to church here 2 years ago, and when I got reacquainted on a deeper level with him, I just sensed the aroma of Jesus Christ in a beautiful way. It was a pleasure to be around him. Yes. He responded to life's disappointments, trials, tests, with an upward, faith-filled look at Christ. And therefore, those things made him the better. They made him more like Jesus. And we can rejoice tonight that he's with the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he allowed to live his life through like that. Well, like I said earlier, all of us have things to overcome as well. You know, a lot of times we look at the early church and we talk about how things were so great back then, and I think they were. But, you know, how they had so much power, they had so much purity, they had the early church was wonderful, which it was. But the early church was also messed up. If you don't believe that, you can read 1 Corinthians and some of the other epistles. The early church was not perfect. They're just people, just like us. And in Revelation, you know, Jesus wrote the letters to all the churches. And every single one of them, he said to, there's something you have to overcome. And he gave a promise to those who would overcome, to these early churches. I'd just like to look at some of these promises, and as we look at them tonight, this is Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Let us consider the fact that our brother has overcome, and therefore these promises are his tonight. Chapter 2 and verse 7, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Brother Myron can eat those leaves freely, fruits or whatever they are. Tonight, verse 11, he that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. The second death is that death for those who do not know Jesus and whose bodies are resurrected or brought before the Lord. And then there's a second death in the lake of fire. He that overcomes will not be hurt of the second death. Praise God. Verse 17, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna. And I'll give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Myron's got himself a new name that only he and Jesus know. I wonder what it is. I know it's something special. Probably has something to do with the curriculum that he went through, too. But probably somewhere in there, it's conqueror, overcomer, victor. Verse 26, chapter 2. He that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Now that's getting pretty exciting. I'm not sure how that all works out, but that's what God said. He that overcomes and keeps my works to the end, him will I give power over the nations. Verse 5 of chapter 3, and he that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. What a beautiful thing to have Jesus confess your name before the Father and before his angels. Is that what Jesus was doing when he stood for Stephen, maybe, as he was being martyred? Confessing, this is my servant, Stephen. Surely it was shortly after that. Praise God. An introduction from the King of Kings. Chapter 3 and verse 12, him that overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. And then the saving seems like the best for last. In verse 21, he says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Wow. What a privilege. Sitting on his throne. Praise God. Just a page over there in chapter 4, it talks about how the elders have 24 seats around the throne in verse 4. It says, round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. What were those crowns? Where did they come from? Well, they came from God. They came from the Lord. Crown of righteousness. Crown of glory. I don't know. There's several crowns mentioned in the New Testament. But they had on these gold crowns, and it says in verse 9, when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him who sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and they worship him that lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne, and they say, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they are and were created. If Myron was here tonight, his crown would be on the ground in front of Jesus Christ, because he would be saying, Lord, it's all because of you. Every good thing I did, every forgiveness I extended, every time I was able to overcome, Jesus, it was because you gave me the grace. It's because you did it in me and through me. And he would, and we're going to do the same, amen? We can glory in nothing. It's all his glory. All our crowns are going to be at his feet, and yet he puts them on our head. And we throw them at his feet. This beautiful relationship with the bride and the lamb. Praise God. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians that no flesh will glory in the presence of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says here in verse 26, he says, you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And he's chosen the base things of the world, and things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Nobody's going to glory in God's presence. Nobody's going to act like they did a great thing or they had it together or they were so good. No, no flesh will glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption, and that according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. So we're here tonight to glory in the Lord. And yes, we glory in what the Lord did through our brother. And he yielded to that. He made those choices. You know, when God created the world, he spoke and everything obeyed him. The molecules and the atoms came together. They formed like he told them to in perfect obedience. But that wasn't the crown of his creation. God was wanting a creation that had a choice to serve him, so that they could willingly allow the glory of God to flow through their lives. Not because they had to, not because like the stars didn't have a choice. They just were made to shine, and they just shine. But the amazing thing of God, and I think one of his greatest shows of strength, is that he can take people like us, sinners, save us by his grace, and then shine his glory through us because we yield to him. We pray, we ask him to do that. We ask him to help us to overcome. And so we glory tonight in the Lord and in Myron and his yielding to the Lord. I believe he could say like the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this would be his prayer for all of us here. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8. Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, my curriculum, so to speak. Paul said, I finished it. I did what he gave me to do. And I've kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That's the promise we have, brothers and sisters. Those of us who love his appearing. He has prepared things for us, his crowns, his glory, all those things we mentioned to the overcomers. He has made provision for everybody, a full provision. Whatever you're facing tonight, I just want us to think about that. What are you needing to overcome? What is it that your curriculum, where you're at in your curriculum of Jesus? some hard thing he's giving you, some test. I believe he wants us to look to him tonight and say, yes, Lord, I'll stay under. I will let you keep doing that work in me by your grace. Let's none of us fail his test. Let's all strive for that master's degree to hear on that day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And I pray and I hope that none of us will ever hear those words, those awesome words that say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. There's no need for that because there's been a full provision made for everybody. May we all partake of that. May we all continue to learn Christ as long as he leaves us on this earth. And may God bless the further service here and our fellowship. And I believe there's a poem to be shared here as well.
I know this part's not on the program. I didn't know I had access to the poem until this afternoon. Dad's brother, David, died quite a number of years ago now. And at the service, my brother shared an inspiration about it being like a graduation. That really inspired Dad, and at the time it had really struck me as well. And I wrote a poem kind of in honor of my uncle and read it for the family. And Dad asked me, would I please share that at his funeral someday? So this is basically Dad's words that he wanted to say to those that he left behind. And I'm basically just sharing them in honor of that request that he made me years and years ago. 'Tis a day I've long awaited, groaning with creation's pain, yearning, hoping, longing, waiting to be free from all life's strain. I've been so long in training, till the day I should have learned all the lessons that befit me for the home for which I yearned. I have passed through life victorious, singing reached the other shore. All our pains and griefs and sorrows from me passed forevermore. Do not weep for me, my loved ones. I have passed to heaven's bright day. All my tests on earth are finished for its graduation day. Graduation day. Oh, glorious. I behold my Savior's face. Wondrous words. Well done, my servant. Only by his matchless grace. Here I'll praise his name forever. Just one more thing would I see. All my family and my loved ones home at last to praise with me. So if you my memory reverence, then remember my desire that each one on earth should know him and should burn with the same fire, with a passion for his glory. 'Tis the yearning of my heart. Strive to serve him with your powers, till for this land you depart. Not a sorrow, but a glory. Here I stand in heaven's bright day, no more struggling through earth's lessons, for it's graduation day.
Thank you, Lisa. That was a beautiful poem. Very clearly expresses, I believe, what he would, Myron would tell us. Let's sing together two more songs here in closing. If you pull out the hymns of the church, number 804, Like a River Glorious, is God's perfect peace. Thinking about Brother Myron and what he would tell us, and looking at the chorus of this song, stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised perfect peace and rest. And I was just thinking about, you know, Brother Myron was enjoyed sharing inspirations that he received from the Lord, things that he dug out of the Word of God. He loved to share those things. And I was just thinking about it, how that, thinking about some of his sharings, you know, we talk about the Lord Jesus and out of things out of the scriptures, and And then to think about how quickly for him that dark glass or that glass was moved out of the way, and now he sees it all face to face. And we're still here learning to know about Jesus, learning more of Jesus, but Meyer knows it all now. Finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. Let's sing it together. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth fuller every day. To 835, I believe it is. I'm sorry, it's not right. 995. Sorry about that. 995. When my life's work is ended. Oh, praise God. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. 995. When my life work is ended and I cross a swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and his smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know him, I shall know him, and redeemed by him. Going to close with this announcement from the family, and then we're going to have a closing prayer after that. So I'm reading this on behalf of the family. Because the family is recovering from COVID, they are unable to mingle with everyone, but they want to formally thank you all for coming out tonight and for all of your kindness and support during this difficult time. Feel free to stay and visit with each other and enjoy the light refreshments that are provided by Charity Christian Fellowship. You can find these downstairs in the basement afterwards here. So you all are welcome to stay for that if you wish. And again, before we pray to the family, God bless you very much. To those watching in online, God be with you, and we extend our sympathies to you. We grieve with you this loss, and also rejoice in the graduation. So let's stand together for a prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, tonight, in these days, we are again reminded that our life is but a vapor. We are born upon this broken earth. We live our lives here, and so quickly we are gone. Lord, tonight, as we have celebrated and continue to just rejoice and grieve with the family, the Myron Weaver family, and just think of Myron and how much he blessed every one of us, Lord, and how he spoke life into our lives. Lord, we're going to miss those words of life. Lord, I thank you for the encouragement he was to us younger fellows, younger leaders. Lord, he was an encourager. I felt that, and thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for, as Brother Paul said, for this gift, the gift of Myron, and how he showed us something about Jesus Christ here on earth. Thank you, Lord, for his example. Thank you, Father, for strengthening him while he was here, and how you led him, and the life that how you flowed your life, Lord Jesus, through Myron. And so we go on from here, Lord. None of us know how long we have here yet, but Father, we want to exalt you every moment that we walk on this earth. We want to be an example to those around us of how precious you are, Lord Jesus, and of your power and of your glory. And we want to point people to the cross, even as our brother did. Just surround the Weaver family with your love and protection. And I ask you, Lord, that you would just minister to them and be with them as they grieve, Lord, and be their comforter. I pray that you would send them messages of hope, messages of peace. Lord, we just pray also, we ask you, God, to be with us here in this congregation as well, in this loss, O Lord, and thank you, Lord, for just all the reminders that you have given us during this time of how frail we are and how great you are. Oh, we bless your name tonight. Just bless the fellowship afterwards, and we just commit our lives to you, and the cry of our hearts, the cry of our lips is, even so come, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all very much. Thank you for coming, and you are dismissed. Feel free to head downstairs whenever you want to. Thank you.